Why stand still when you can run headfirst into a wall? You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists. So, Tomas, remember when we were talking about Cheers?
I do.
In one of the episodes, you brought up Cheers, and you were saying how TV used to be much more...
innocent.
Yes, and you were watching it with Gabriel, and I started thinking about Cheers and Sam Malone, who's having sex with everybody that walks in the bar and all of the... And I'm like, how does he think this is innocent?
He was that hound in Bugs Bunny. The girl would come by and they would...
It's okay. I'm just amazed that you look at it that way. I mean, I remember wanting to be Sam Malone because he knew how to you know, I was an awkward kid. He knew how to get girls.
It makes me think, maybe it was the wrong thing to expose my child
maybe
to.
Maybe it was. Maybe
he was young.
How old was he?
Four when we started Cheers.
So he probably didn't understand a lot that was going on.
No, none of the allusions to those subjects that you talk about. But it's only one thing. Sam's a hound, and they're all pining over the affection of women with varying degrees of success.
Right.
Norm kind of doesn't want to get laid because he's, that's the whole joke, right? He's like, yeah, enough. He's avoiding his wife. Cliff is just woefully ignorant on how to secure a woman's affections. And Sam is the mastermind.
Ironically, Frasier does the best out of all of them other than Sam.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, this conversation got us talking sort of without the mics. We started talking about, you know, what's unseemly.
Yeah, like inappropriate as well as misleading media, which are two different things.
Yes. I started thinking about, all right, what are all the movies and TV shows that I grew up with and what kind of effect did they have on me and how have things changed? And I started thinking about like the, you know, the rating system, like with movies, they never really did that with TV.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of strange because the rating system at least is this opportunity. It started in 1968, right? And it was this opportunity for parents to be able to like kind of figure out the appropriateness of a movie for their kids, right? If it was rated R, you couldn't go. If it was PG-13, maybe, you know, PG and G were probably the preferred ones, depending on how old the kid was, right? But we all tried to sneak in. Like, that was sort of a game for us. How do you get into the R-rated movie?
Well, it all depended on the parent. For me, it was, what does my dad want to see? And then the rules can be bent.
Oh, I see. So what was the morally questionable movie that he took you to as a kid, do you think?
I guess Animal House and let's see. Oh, Caddyshack. They both had some nudity and some pretty obvious, right, like, sexual overtones. In terms of violence, I think the two movies I can think of are Marathon Man. It had a torture scene where someone was being tortured by pulling his teeth out. That was really rough. And The Omen, I don't know if The Omen was violent or it was just really scary.
I'm glad you brought up violence because that's one of the other things that I was thinking about. Like, all right, what's unseemly? There's sex, there's foul language, and there's violence. And people seem way cooler with violence than they do with sex on screen. More okay with their kids watching violence. I mean, look at the video games that people are playing.
You make a good point. And is that okay? Personally, just thinking about it, violence is probably worse. It's a real issue in TV and in movies. And I do think there's more violence now than there was back then. But hold on. Before, you were talking about Cheers. Do you actually think Cheers is not appropriate?
No, yes and no. I'm just saying it was funny that you thought it was innocent. That's what made me think about it. I actually don't care. I think Cheers was fine. I watched it when I was, you know, I was like 12 when it came out.
So because of your age, you were more aware of it. But Gabriel was unaware because of his age. The reason I thought of it as innocent was we're all aware that Sam's obsessed with women. And there was a lot of comedy in that. The comedy of him pursuing women and his success or failure. Mostly success. But it really never materialized in anything on screen. You maybe saw a little bit of kissing, but not much, really.
Yeah.
If I compare that to TV today, I feel like it's a whole lot more innocent than TV today.
Well, not in sitcoms. Not in like in family sitcoms. They definitely don't show more. They do in like some of the dramas. Like I remember NYPD Blue started showing people's asses, and that was a big deal.
Right.
And then, you know, and side boob.
Right.
And men's asses. For some reason, they love to show Jimmy Smith's ass. I don't understand.
But you always
that.
Hung out at the YMCA locker room to see men's asses. I remember that. So you didn't need to watch NYPD.
You see, you can, right. Why do you need to show it on TV? It's right there in the locker room.
Okay, so I respectfully disagree with you. I actually don't think it's all that bad. And I think partly because he's a nice guy. Pretty much all the characters on Cheers are actually nice people. So therefore,
right. I have a list for you that might get you to change your mind on this, or might get you to realize that.
All right, go ahead.
I found a list of movies that have things that are completely inappropriate that you would never think of. I mean, this totally surprised me. So the list starts with, I found this on ranker.com, and the list starts with Ghostbusters. And when you look at Ghostbusters, Ray has a sexual encounter with a ghost, and Peter brought predatory drugs on a date.
Right.
So Bill Murray's character
brought,
right? And that was somehow fine in the kids' movie?
And it's all about how it's presented, because they were goofy, unthreatening characters. Even the ghosts were unthreatening. And that's why the movie is, all in all, okay for a kid. Now, if I think back to the 70s, there were some really inappropriate, wacky movies being released, especially in the horror genre. I wasn't into it, but some of that stuff was pretty strange. Also, it had something to do with the color of the film. It degraded, and I don't know what it looked like when it was originally released, but it always had this washed out, strange look to it that made it even more creepy in some ways. But I don't know if you remember Death Wish. Death Wish was a pretty twisted, scary movie.
Oh, yeah. I love Death Wish.
That was pretty bad stuff.
It was. It was. You're right. The rape scene, even though they didn't show it, like, you felt it. And you felt what Charles Bronson was going through when he was becoming the vigilante. Like, it was really, really great.
You know, the other thing I just thought of is, when I was younger, I used to love Westerns. And in particular, I loved the spaghetti Westerns. And the movie I think that everyone thinks of is The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, with Clint Eastwood being, you know, the iconic gunslinger. What I didn't realize, because I was watching it on TV, was I was watching an edited version of it. And when I finally watched the theatrical release, it was pretty darn violent. And I was unaware that it was rated R.
Yeah.
There's a really twisted Clint Eastwood movie called High Plains Drifter, where he's another cowboy movie, and it's really messed up. He's a gunman that rides into a town that's being terrorized by this group of outlaws. The town hires him to get rid of the outlaws, like the criminals, but he turns out to be worse than the outlaws. You know, he murders and rapes, and he just brings the town to its knees. And before he leaves, this is messed up, he forces the town to be painted blood red, and like as he's riding out of the town, he writes over the town sign the word hell. it's messed up.
All right, well, I'm going back to my list because I'm gonna convince you that maybe you're looking at Cheers.
It's not a Cheers list.
This is still the movies, but I'm saying there are things that you just don't think about. For example, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. There is a glimpse into a Who's swinger party. Remember the Who's?
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. I guess
who
this
wrote
is up,
this
up,
list?
Up to be an interpretation.
Where did you get this list from? Okay.
In the Mask, the movie The Mask, Jim Carrey, very famous movie, he creates balloon animals out of a condom. All right, that's a little, that's
you're
a
have
little,
to explain
you know.
To the kid. Okay, what is that? It's an interesting balloon. All I can think is this balloon has ridges. Okay. I apologize.
The Brady Bunch movie had, you know, Marcia and Greg getting down in the movie. And and Alice accidentally drugs everybody.
Right, so let me—I
mean, it was a spoof. The movie was
right,
a spoof,
and the movie
so it was
came
meant to
out
be.
Well after the Bradys, 20 years later.
Yes,
another cast,
yes,
another
the
thing.
'90s.
So not the Bradys.
Yes.
The Bradys were innocent.
Yes,
but
the Bradys were
innocent. The movie hit was much later, so that one I don't buy. I'm thinking '70s and '80s TV in particular.
But this is all about movies. But I just want to point out, those are movies we would never have thought there was anything inappropriate.
And the movies were marketed to kids.
And the movies were marketed to kids, yes. That's how sneaky they all are. It really doesn't bother me, but I think it's interesting
to
take a look
so
at.
So then we were talking about how, through time, it's desensitized us. For an adult, that's our own decision. For a child, the adult is making the decision for that child. So then that's important to make the appropriate decision. I still stand by my, it was okay that Gabriel saw Cheers.
At four, it was probably okay. Friends was a lot, kind of changed things on prime time. Did he watch Friends when that happened in the night? Well, actually, no, he wouldn't. He wasn't around when Friends happened. But as he watched it since.
I never watched Friends. So I don't know Friends.
Oh my God. I am learning so much about you during this.
Making more sense, right? I don't get references.
A lot of it is making sense.
But I know
yes.
It was a huge sitcom. You were saying to me before that pushed the boundaries.
I think it did. Yeah. Yeah. That changed things a lot.
One of the things that I looked up was Ricky Gervais' Golden Globes.
Oh my God. I love that so much.
There might be five that he hosted. He definitely pushed the limits. What I love about Ricky Gervais, he's always punching up. He's never punching down. He had a joke about Apple as Tim Cook was in the audience.
Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show. A superb drama. Yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you?
Ridiculous. And they put the camera on his face. What was the joke about James Corden? It was a joke about the movie Cats.
The world got to see James Corden as a fat pussy. He was also in the movie Cats, but no one saw that. And the reviews, oh, shocking. I saw one that said, this is the worst thing to happen to cats since dogs, right? But Dame Judi Dench defended the film, saying it was the role she was born to play, because she... I can't do this next joke. Because she loves nothing better than plonking herself down on the carpet, lifting her leg and licking her... Furball. She's old school.
I think he's going to end. It's one of the brilliant things about him. He keeps on going with the joke. He keeps on one-upping. And it ended with Judi Dench being a cat and cleaning herself. You know? Although, I don't know. Perhaps the joke was beeped. I saw it on YouTube. I'm wondering if the joke was beeped when it was played on TV. But instead of saying licking her, he said minge, which is an English word for female genitalia. To me, he pushed the limits because that was primetime TV.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Did that really enter the cultural zeitgeist, like some of these shows that we're talking about, though? What's the effect of that?
Because he was so good. Mm-hmm. If you look up Golden Globes on YouTube, he's the first thing that comes up.
Right.
So in that sense, because of social media, that could change.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Great point.
What is acceptable on TV, because it lives on far longer than things used to live on. And the other thing I was going to say when we're talking about cultural changes and how we've gotten desensitized. Years ago, I was in Europe with my wife and we went to Pompeii. If you look at the graffiti and the statuary.
Incredibly sexual.
Yeah, unbelievably sexual and violent.
Yeah.
You could say that we're getting more and more desensitized, but I think culturally, maybe there's an up and down, but I think that we're probably a lot less desensitized than people were in the past when they saw death all the time. And when if you wanted to have some alone time with someone, probably the living quarters made it a little difficult.
You just made me think of Dances with Wolves. The Native Americans are in the teepee. The husband and wife are hooking up and he's like, or she, somebody is like right next to lying next to him, trying not to watch, you know, because right. I mean, where are you going to go in a teepee? You know, you really don't have much choice.
You leave a tie on the outside of the teepee. Dad's getting busy. Yep.
The first thing I thought of is the porn rock hearings. Do you remember when Tipper Gore was trying to slap labels on albums when we were kids?
No, it's called the PMRC. Where'd you get that?
Yes,
name?
The PMRC is what she started. But then the porn rock hearings were what happened in Congress. And that's when like Frank Zappa and John Denver and
yeah, I know a lot about it, but I didn't realize it was called that. I just thought it was Parent Music Resource Center.
It was kind of what they called it after the fact. So I was super against, and still am. I don't think we need to rate music. But the reason all the musicians were up in arms is because then you wouldn't be able to sell to big chains like Walmart. If you have a bad rating on your album, Walmart's not going to buy it. And that can kill your album sales because a lot of albums were sold in Walmart. Yeah,
they thought they might lose album sales. Just in case you don't know, the PMRC was a committee. Mm-hmm. The idea was to have a clear rating on CDs, albums, and tapes because of lyrics that were inappropriate for children.
That's right.
And I believe the thought was that with the rating system, if a child tried to buy an album, a CD, and they wouldn't be able to without a parent supervision.
Right. So here's why I think it's so interesting. So we're musicians. Of course I was against it and still am, right? However, some of those lyrics and some of the stuff on the albums are pretty bad. And when I look at how reasonable it seems to rate movies, why wouldn't you rate other forms of entertainment for kids, you know, TV shows and music? In my older years, it does seem like a reasonable idea.
Yeah, people tend to get more conservative as they get older. I remember those hearings well. It was actually my introduction to Frank Zappa. I had heard of Frank Zappa before, but I didn't know who he was. He was a brilliant speaker, and he was really funny and quick-witted. So a lot of the news coverage I saw with him was just amusing. I'm going to interrupt myself. When they had the hearings, they called a bunch of artists to testify, which included Frank Zappa, as I said. It also included Dean Snyder.
His name is D. Snyder.
And John Denver. Yes, John Denver. I think they called each one for a different reason. They probably called Frank Zappa because they thought he would be incoherent. They probably called Dean Snyder because they assumed he'd be a moron. And lastly, I bet you they called John Denver because they assumed he would agree with them. He didn't. And I just found his testimony, and you've got to hear it.
These hearings have been called to determine whether or not the government should intervene to enforce this practice. Mr. Chairman, this would approach censorship. May I be very clear that I am strongly opposed to censorship of any kind in our society or anywhere else in the world. I've had in my experience two encounters with a sort of censorship. My song Rocky Mountain High was banned from many radio stations as a drug-related song. Mr. Chairman, the suppression of a people or of a society begins, in my mind, with the censorship of the written or spoken word. It was so in Nazi Germany. It is so in many places today where those in power are afraid of the consequences of an informed and educated people. In a mature and incredibly diverse society such as ours, the access to all perspectives of an issue becomes more and more important. Those things which in our experience are undesirable generally prove to be unfurthering and sooner or later become boring. That process cannot and should not be stifled.
I mean, where do you land on that now?
Well, back then, 100%, I was against it. But, you know, like you, as you get old, you get wise or unwise. And it really depends, actually. It depends on the song, depends on who's buying it. It's a confusing question, my friend. And this is going to sound really old, but it's rougher today. The music is even rougher today, so... bigger question.
I was with Stacy and Connor and one of Connor's friends. We had just seen this Van Gogh immersive thing that was really cool in LA. And then we walked into a shoe store and there's this song playing and some of the lyrics, I swear to God, I was like, this is why they put the rating system on the album.
What for you was the first song where you thought,
I want to guess if it's the same, because it's the one for me and I want to guess if it's the same one. Is it the Lemon song from Led Zeppelin? Because that was mine.
That's one.
Till the juice runs down my leg. Till the juice runs down my leg. The way you squeeze my lemon, I'm gonna fall right out of bed.
Yeah, that is one.
Yes.
Squeeze my lemon? Why would I have lemons on me? I don't walk around with lemons.
And why the hell would I squeeze it?
So, by the way, it's a ripoff of a blues song. Led Zeppelin probably got sued For me, the first song was Who Are You? When he says, who the F are you? At first, I remember hearing it on the radio, and it was getting beeped. But when I got the album, and I, how is this on a record? So that was the first time I thought.
Like, I had no feeling. You know, I had no feelings about that at all. It just sounded cool to me. For me, I guess, cursing wasn't inappropriate. It was the
right
the suggestion of what's happening. That is the thing that surprised me. You know what I mean? That's why the Lemon song is the one that got to me. I could hear Who the Fuck Are You all day long, and that doesn't do anything. But when I hear like, oh, now I get what he's asking her to do, and perhaps inappropriate to be on a record, but I'm okay with it.
Oh, by the way, the Lemon song, it was supposed to be plagiarized from Howling Wolf. For me, just hearing a curse on an album, and then when I was younger, I remember Big Balls. I'm surprised AC/DC talked about their nuts for this long.
Well, I'm upper class, high society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all.
Yeah, that one got to me for sure. Do you remember the Spinal Tap Big Bottoms was kind of like their version of that?
It was awesome. Yeah. And then there's a song on Quadrophenia that talks about, I think, rape.
Might be Dr. Jimmy and Mr. Jim.
That's it, Dr. Jimmy and Mr. Jim. That's okay. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, Get Down, Make Love from Queen. I remember thinking, that's inappropriate.
That's not inappropriate. How is that wrong?
Right. Well, if you read the lyrics.
You should give me a dramatic reading of Get Down.
it's the stupidest lyrics ever, but we will. After the podcast, I'll turn the lights down, give you a dramatic reading.
Yes, I'll light a candle or two.
About videos. Because when I think of videos, back in the day, for me, it was just seeing a rock band play was much more important than a story video.
Yeah.
Like Madonna had things that you could say are inappropriate, but I was talking to Tracy about this, and she was saying that, well, not the early videos. The early videos, like, what was the Madonna video?
Like a Virgin? I don't remember the video. I just remember her doing it at the MTV Awards and rolling around. That was like the whole big thing. Do you remember? That was considered inappropriate. You got to be kidding me. But look at that now. It's so harmless what she was doing. But you're right. Things have changed.
But because we listen to rock and roll, I don't think there was. I guess in the metal videos, like the White Snake videos and things like that, it was pretty.
Oh yeah, the Van Halen ones. Come on, Hot for Teacher.
But no simulated sexuality and that stuff. Where with that you would get with Madonna. So you could argue, well, that's funny and silly, but the Madonna stuff is probably more because it actually simulates the act a little bit more. Well, let's talk about politics.
Ooh, all right. Well, let me start by saying there are things I don't like about Democrats and there are things I don't like about Republicans. So I truly am not making any commentary on how somebody should vote or how you vote or how I vote. I'm just giving my opinion on this. The thing that immediately bothered me about Trump was I thought the way he spoke, his behavior, I still believe if you're president of the United States, you're an example to kids. Just like athletes can be an example to kids and all blah, blah, blah. But certainly the president of the United States, his decorum, the way he behaves is an example for the nation. And his behavior, forget about, I'm not talking about any of his policies or whether I voted for him or not. Like, I forget all that. I'm just talking about his behavior was unbelievably inappropriate and I think damaging to the country. And makes us look ridiculous to the world on top of it. So, you know, you can make arguments that there were good things about his presidency. You can make arguments that there was bad things about his presidency. You cannot tell me that his behavior was good for America, that the way he spoke was good. You cannot tell me that.
And there might have been presidents in the past that had equally bad behavior, but there's no recordings and visual evidence.
Yeah, I heard LBJ was an ass. It has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat at all. It's literally, this has nothing to do with that.
I thought about it, and I looked at some video of both Biden and Trump, because they're the most recent presidents. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you look at Obama, and when you look at Clinton, I would think even Bush, the presidents we've had up to the last two presidents don't seem as angry. So I feel a bit of anger from both. My gut reaction at first with Biden was, no, he's much more gentle. He's more of a grandpa. But I don't know. When I see him, he always looks displeased. Like he's, are you kidding me?
I totally agree. He talks down to people who disagree with him. He really does. And he wants you to hate the people on the other side of him, which is not okay.
Yeah, I feel like both have anger issues.
Yeah.
The displeased part with Biden and the angry, inciting violence thing that Trump has.
Yes.
I just looked up worst campaign slogans.
All right. This could be fun.
And this is ridiculous. So Alfred E. Smith was a governor of New York. He was a real character. Always had a cigar in his mouth. One of the things he did was help get money for the building of the Empire State Building. He was a governor for a long time, and I think there's a statue of Alfred E. Smith in the village somewhere. And he had a campaign slogan that he gave buttons out for a while. It's so bad. Vote for Al Smith and make your wet dreams come true.
Whoa.
Wow. So what does that mean? I believe it had something to do with the alcohol prohibition. And he wouldn't push it dry. But boy, does that have another meaning now.
That's fantastic.
That's ridiculous. There was a woman, Christine O'Donnell, who had an advertisement, I'm not a witch, I'm with you, running in Delaware, running for the seat that was vacated by Joe Biden when he became vice president. The advertisement refuted claims that she was a witch. People started saying that she was a witch, and it went viral. So Christine O'Donnell, I'm not a witch, was her campaign slogan. So Goldwater ran against Johnson. He obviously did not succeed. And his was, in your heart, you know he's right. Goldwater. Barry Goldwater. So he ran against Lyndon Johnson. And that...
Right. Was he saying that Lyndon Johnson, in your heart, you know Lyndon Johnson's right? Or he's right? Or... It's very confusing.
Bad slogan. But there's a really famous commercial, and I always thought it was Goldwater. There's a little girl, she's pulling petals off a flower, and then you see a missile come behind her, hit mushroom cloud. You know? And it's it basically was vote for Lyndon Johnson if you want to survive. If you don't want a nuclear apocalypse.
Wow, man.
Johnson's team ran a slogan, in your guts, you know he's nuts, was his tagline.
Is that real? Is that, are you making that up?
Yes. No. Yeah. There's a guy in the Philippines that ran. This is, it's really funny. It's, I'll do my best, but I can't promise anything.
Oh, this is the greatest list we've had on so far.
In 1974, Jerome Thrope ran for the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom with the slogan, one more heave. Do we really want a PM who wants one more vomit? One more heave. I don't know what that was. Polk. Wow, this is old. So 1845, Democratic... Franklin Pierce helped James Polk win the presidential election race in 1844. He wanted to build on the momentum for his campaign in 1852. The slogan seems to pay a little too much on sexual innuendo. We poked you in 44, but we'll pierce you in 52. So inappropriate. 1844, 1852.
We really should have led with this. This should have been the opening of the of the podcast.
I just thought about it before the podcast.
Do you think that somebody's going to end up being whoever runs for the Republicans, their slogan is going to be "Let's go, Brandon"?
Yeah, there's a big thing with that now. So we're at an interesting time now because I've been looking up approval ratings, and I'm sure that they're got to be a little biased. How honest are people in surveys anyway?
Well, it depends on where who's surveying them. Like your Fox News or Reuters is going to get a different thing than Gallup, and you know.
So this was an NBC poll. I think it was today. Biden is at an all-time low for president. It's in the 40%.
Yeah.
So that means 60%, including Democrats, just people are not approving of Biden.
I know. He's done some really bad stuff. Like, I'm sorry, Afghanistan. Yeah. This is not a political podcast, but are you kidding me? Like, we're just not going to go into it. But, I mean, I have a real problem with this presidency so far. Now, the infrastructure bill just passed. So that is an amazing achievement.
We'll see what happens.
That is a phenomenal achievement. So that's great. But
and a bone I have to pick about the infrastructure bill before we let this go is within the bill, or law, actually, is a credit for EV. It's supposed to help us transition from ICE, which stands for internal combustion engine cars, to EVs. So its purpose, ostensibly, is to help with the environment. Within the bill, there's a credit for companies that employ union workers to make the cars. Now, Tesla does not employ union workers, but there's a big problem here. Tesla is worlds ahead of its competition. I would think that the only competition that would be remotely close would be China. Biden had two EV summits. He didn't invite Tesla to the summits. Mm-hmm. I believe he invited Ford, GM, and Stellantis. And that was it. No Tesla. Twice. Never mentioned Tesla.
Yep.
Even once. I understand there's a place for unions. I'm not totally against unions. I understand that there's good and bad. There's bad to unions, and I'm sure there's good to unions. But this is not a time for politics. This is a time... We're running out of time. It's a time to heal the world. So why? Come on. It's really disheartening for me that Biden would have done that.
It's not confusing. I think it's clear that the administration has a grudge or a bone to pick with Elon Musk, and this is the way they're going to deal with it, which I think it's probably been happening forever that this kind of stuff goes on, but it's it's really sad to see. I mean, this is a great, he's doing a great company. He's doing a great service. He's got a great product.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to steer people away from patronizing his company? That's not okay.
To me, it seems clear that it's the United Auto Workers who supported Biden's presidency.
Yep.
Okay. And there's a good reason for unions. Unions, there's good and bad to everything. So there's some good
and
there's some bad to it. But at this point, let's not talk about unions. We have to transition. Tesla is clearly in the lead in the world in electric vehicles. Ford, GM, they're not close. They're not in the running. There's no they're out of the race. It's not going to happen. So that means in the end, we're going to lose a lot of jobs if Tesla doesn't exist.
Why wouldn't we subsidize Tesla equally? Like, why wouldn't you reward a great American company? You know,
it doesn't make sense. Again, you would think that this is clear who we voted for. It's not. We have problems with everybody. Yeah. That's why we're pugilists. We just want to get into a fight.
Sadly, we do. We kind of we're lacing up the gloves in this one a little bit. And I apologize if I've offended anybody because, look, it's just an opinion. And it doesn't mean anything other than, you know, this is what I think.
Yeah. We could clearly be wrong, which is possible.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things that I have a really hard time with when you're passing a law within infrastructure bill that was passed, there's all of these other things in here. So it's really hard to vote for something clearly. I don't know if it's the best system we have. It's what we have to do. There's too many laws to be passed.
It's the way it's always been.
Right. I'm uneducated. Yeah. What do I know? But it just seems wrong. And one thing that, for me, clearly is problematic is the fact that business, big business, can have lobbyists. It's clear that big business having lobbyists affects our government, and it is not something that I believe helps Americans.
You can argue that there are lobbyists that lobby on behalf of Americans, like the AARP. And, you know, there are certain lobbyists that do are fighting for something that you might agree with. But if we took money out of politics, I think you and I are in complete solidarity. If you took money out of politics and just let people vote their conscience and do what they really believe in Congress and do what they really believe in the Senate and do what they really believe in the White House, rather than who they're beholden to, then it would be much more interesting. But how do you get back to that at this point? I mean, it's so...
so frustrating. We've all seen political debates. I'll watch a debate and think, each person accused the other person of something. They never answered the accusations besides saying, oh, you're crazy, you're wrong. But I want to talk about, let's go back to this. They never, they have their talking points.
Totally.
They go through their talking points.
Totally.
They never answer accusations besides saying you're wrong. You have no idea when you look at the debate who's being truthful or who's not. It would take forever for us to go through every little point that was made in a debate. So what do? We listen to the news. We'll research it for you. We'll tell you what's right or what's wrong. But the news is bought and sold by the commercials that are on the news, meaning that although they're supposed to be unbiased, could somewhere in the back of their minds there be the fact that the advertisers pay their salaries? They don't want to anger those advertisers.
And not to mention, let's give them a little bit of a break on one thing, which is, you know, everybody gets their news from blogs, a lot of blogs and a lot of articles on the web and blah, blah, blah. And these newspapers end up losing a lot of income. And that income was going to researchers and people on the back end double checking and triple checking the references and where this stuff is coming from. And there used to be a really high standard for you do not print a news story and say this is fact until you have multiple sources. And the problem is when you don't have the staff that can do it anymore, there's things that get missed. And things that people start just relying on, oh, well, these people said it's true, so, you know, their people fact-checked it. And I think that stuff goes on, and some of it is because of this, you know, lack of funding that they have, or this loss of funding. And I've noticed lately, if I'm looking up a story that's in Alabama and I'm looking on one of their local papers online, now they're starting to chart. They won't let you look at the story you want to look at unless you sign up for a subscription, which is new. And frankly, they probably should have been doing that way back when, but it's getting harder and harder to verify news or to cross-reference news sources.
There's not as much money in papers and in media. People are getting information from YouTube, which there's good and bad too, of course. And we can't say that there's never been untruthful media. I mean, the yellow journalist in the late 1800s, Hearst and Pulitzer Prize, there was exaggerated stories and completely untrue stories, right? One of the reasons that the Spanish-American War happened was because of lies, essentially. Things that didn't happen got us in a frenzy. We have to go into Cuba and get the Spanish out of there. They're raping and killing our children. They're doing it. Didn't happen. Totally lies. Lies in media has gone on for a long time. To think that it's not happening now feels naive.
I've been naive at points, too, where I will trust a source for a long time and then realize that, oh, wait a minute, they made a mistake and they're not correcting it. That's upsetting me now. You know what I mean? Listen, I hope you're enjoying yourselves when listening to the Jocular Pugilists. We are the Jocular Pugilists. You can find us on our website, thejocularpugilists.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Jocular Pugilists. And, thank you for all the ratings and reviews. We so appreciate it. If you haven't done it yet, or if you're looking for a way to give back to the podcast, that is a great way. Go to iTunes and leave a rating and a written review. And, you know, say something fun. We just might mention you on the podcast.
People have asked me, how do you rate a podcast? Well, on your iPhone or possibly on your tablet, you have to swipe up until you get to the very bottom of the podcast, and then you'll see rate and review. And the rating and the review are two different things.
They love to make it easy for you. Good to talk to you. I still hate you.
I hate you too. But we'll get over it. We'll go to canceling.
Nice.